Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
In this AudioCast 45, let's talk about yoga, mindfulness, and trying to be a good Catholic. So sit back and...
1, 2, 3, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for another special edition of discussions that are deep, and it leads to conversions if we are willing to engage in a conversation. And this week I interview Johnny Gillespie. He is the founder of Balanced Athlete. I met him in Las Vegas at a bar because we were both speakers for a group called Siegfried Group, and they are a group of accountants that really are practicing what I would call the best about business. But this discussion is really gonna take a lot of patience because we're gonna be getting into yoga, we're gonna be getting into mindfulness, and we're gonna be getting into what makes us healthy in spirit, which also requires us to be healthy in soul and in mind and also in body. And I even learn how to stand up straight, so Mom will be proud of me for that. So, engaged in a deep dish discussion. That's exactly what we're gonna do. Conversation that lead to conversion when we return in just a moment. This episode is brought to you by SoulCore.com. It's a type of exercise that isn't connected with other disciplines like yoga, but it's a type of movement that pairs core strengthening, stretching, and functional movement all by meditating on the prayers of the rosary. It's a sensory experience combining all of the atmospheric things of candlelight, music, and scripture, and also movement to nourish body, mind, and soul. To stay healthy this way in body, mind, and soul, check out soulcore.com. That is SoulCore.com. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with a deep dish discussion. Here I am with Johnny, and he is the founder of, give me the name again.
Balanced Athlete.
Balanced Athlete. And so this is kind of impressive. You're going to hear a lot of music in the background because I think I am in the coolest studio I've ever been in. I am in a bar at the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Las Vegas, and that's where I met Johnny, in a bar.
Yeah, that's basically how it happened, Father.
No, really, what happens is we are both speakers for a group called Siegfried Group, and you can learn more about that. It's I'll just tell you their website at the end of the show. But I wanted to jump into the conversation right now with Johnny because there's a strange connection we have. Maybe, Johnny, you can explain how we actually do know each other, or
yeah,
at least have crossed paths.
Yeah, I was raised Catholic, and I'm the 99% that had great experiences with priests, but you probably won't hear about that right now.
Sure.
Let's hear about the bad ones.
Sure.
And one of those priests was Father Daniel Thomas. And he had such an impact on me. And right when I graduated from eighth grade, he got reassigned to Rome. And I'll never forget crying in my bedroom knowing that this priest that I had developed such a great relationship with was going to leave me.
Well, you know, he's like
in eighth grade.
That just sounds like you had a positive experience of a spiritual father.
Exactly.
And obviously a spiritual brother.
Yes.
And so he had such an impact on you that when he left, it was like,
yeah,
saying goodbye.
Yeah. So then 4 years later, then they gave him another 4 years. And then when I graduated from college, I had a couple thousand dollars in the bank, and my dad's like, so are you going to buy a car? I said, no, I'm going to get a Eurorail pass and go to Rome and see Father.
Smart move.
Yep. And when I got over there, basically Father Leo.
I was a seminarian at the time. So you were one of these people that were guests to the North American College.
Yep.
And I was in charge of the orientation team. Yep. And in July, when you arrived, there was nobody there. So I was just one of the people who was making sure that you were settled.
Yeah.
And I thought you were a seminarian. See, you lost, but you're not. You were not a seminarian. You're now married.
I'm married. Three children.
And tell me a little bit about the company that you're the founder of.
So I've been involved in the health and fitness wellness industry since 1994. I've been a personal trainer since 94.
Okay.
And then I was very lucky to develop a full clientele and was at the beginning end of a profession that was, you know, not even, it existed, but not much besides the fringes of California and, you know, New York and
the cities. Where is this company based?
We're based out of Wilmington, Delaware.
Okay, so is there a large group of people who want to be healthy in Wilmington, Delaware?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I mean, because I know that they would be out there on the West Coast, the Muscle Beaches.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not, I don't think it's as much as some of the other cities that are a little bit more progressive.
Okay.
But I think, I think Wilmington's, you know, the expression is they're 10 to 15 years behind, you know, California.
Sure.
So I think... But anyway, so, you know, I started a business, and the business presently right now, it's 19 years old, and it's gone through lots of different renditions.
Sure.
But currently right now, we have three studio locations that are called Empowered Yoga, and then we also offer a functional fitness program or movement program there called Balanced Athlete. So it's, as Jerry Garcia said, it's been a long, strange trip, man.
Sure.
It's like... Father, it's been 24 years in an industry.
So your industry is just based on fitness.
Well, you know, it's really what's happening within the fitness industry is, you know, the yoga studios are going through their own transformation because most businesses don't last much more than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at the life cycle. And then things shift. So right now, I shift it with an industry that's shifting and created this Balanced Athlete program, which is like a functional movement program.
Functional movement.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, because it just sounds like exercise and stretching.
Well, no. So basically, there's an emerging understanding of human science. I humbly am one of those people that understands this science. And it's basically how the human body is designed to move. Like, how's the foot designed to function? How's the knee designed to function? How do I keep my back healthy?
Did you study type of like, you know, biology or kinesiology?
No, I was a graduate. I graduated from West Virginia University in sports management.
Okay.
And when I graduated, I had an option to, or let me take a step back. I did an internship, and I had an option to actually either do one with the Flyers, which I was a hockey player, which was sports management, more the sports business aspect.
Sure.
And then the other one was to work in a Gold's Gym. And I chose Gold's Gym. And my dad was like, you know, why are you turning up this opportunity? But I was following my passion, and my passion was fitness. And then that summer, I saw a guy personal training people for the first time in my life. And I just said, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to be a personal trainer.
So let me just ask you a few questions about the stereotypes that people have about the gym rat or the gym mentality. Because it's just kind of like, it can be a difficult place for people who may not be super healthy.
Absolutely. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people, a lot of people don't go to gyms.
Yeah.
Is because of that.
Yeah, they're embarrassed.
And that's why I did really well as a personal trainer and being in studios, private studios where people could come. I guess, you know, the challenge is it could be a bit pricey. So there's an only certain part of the, you know, population that you're able to kind of reach.
Sure.
The yoga studios, once I got into yoga, then that price point for the consumer is much lower. So then you open up yourself to a bigger market of people.
Sure. Okay. So you basically meet people at the studio, I mean, at your fitness center, and you kind of do an intake. Because, I mean, I've been to a gym before.
Yeah.
And I used to be a martial arts instructor. So you'd have to meet with them and kind of find out their goals. What do you think are the ultimate goals here? I mean, a lot of
people
just want to be like weight loss and look good.
I just think it's really like most of the time it can be very vanity driven. I mean, sure. I don't like to make generalizations, but sometimes they're helpful. So I think sure. there's a big market of people where it's completely about that. I think there's people that are starting to turn to fitness and yoga, meditation, because of stress reasons, and also disease reasons,
mm-hmm.
because it's pretty proven.
I want to get to that. Yeah. But before that, I just want to learn a little bit more about why you got into it. I mean, is it because you were just an athlete?
No, I got into it. I was really into working out with weights.
Okay.
And I really liked it a lot.
So I'm looking at you and you look very fit, but you're not like a muscle head.
No. Because what happened was I stopped lifting weights in early part of 2000.
Okay.
And that was when I started practicing yoga. So I just kind of got disinterested with the gym, even though I had a fitness business and a personal training business.
Interesting.
So I got disinterested with it, and I just got really deep into studying different styles of yoga and Eastern philosophies, particularly Buddhism. And then eventually, about a decade into it, I realized that it was time to reintegrate back to kind of where I came from.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, I had started off as a personal trainer, and I spent about 10 years on this journey into yoga and meditation.
Sure.
And Eastern philosophy, particularly Buddhism.
Okay.
And it was just kind of time to reintegrate back into where I kind of came from.
Okay.
Which is back into, you know, weight training and different things. And what I started to realize is that there was this kind of natural, organic engineering of how the human body was designed to move. And I discovered it, or became aware of it. Let's use that.
Okay.
I became aware of it through having to pay attention on a yoga mat to how I was moving my body.
Okay.
And then
so movement is a big deal for like your whole work.
Yes.
So I'm not saying in a nutshell, but you're going to have to help me out with that because for me, it sounds like stretching. It sounds sure. like maybe breathing.
Right.
Maybe you're going to have to go through those dynamics. Let me know what that means.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when we look at movement.
Yep.
Well, let's look at two extremes. First, let's look at a baby.
Okay.
He rolls around, crawls, sure. does all kinds of stuff. Squats all the way down.
Yeah.
All the way down to the ground, just kind of hangs out there while they defecate.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
They can do instant splits.
Then you watch them at 3 and 4 and they're running around on the back lawn, like on the balls of their feet with perfect posture, just fluidly moving.
Yeah.
So there's one paradigm. And now let's look at the other paradigm. Our elderly, like falls are one of the biggest causes of death.
Yeah, I can't get up.
Right, they can't
yeah.
move.
Yeah.
You know, you watch them shuffle.
It's arthritis.
Yeah,
kicks
they're
in.
Arthritis, yep. right? They're all hunched over. And it's like, well, that's just kind of part of aging. And it's like, yes and no.
Okay.
The human body has a very intricate design on how we are designed to align with gravity. And not fall apart as we're living.
Align with gravity. And that's going to strike me it's going to make me think a little bit. What does that mean? Align
with gravity. Gravity is a force that's always, you know, we
sure.
all learn this in school, but we forget it, right?
Yeah, and at the same
Science,
time, it's like align
seventh
with
grade,
gravity.
Say seventh grade, right?
Sure.
It's like seventh grade, you learned about gravity and, you know, so, but people don't really realize what is gravity doing to your structure as you're sitting, standing, walking, driving your car.
As you're talking,
your
I'm like adjusting
around.
My back, you know,
yeah.
constantly doing that. So aligning your align with gravity. And I certainly like the idea of these two paradigms of the way children are very naturally and the way we become. You were going to respond to the fact that could it just be aging or could it just be bad movement?
It doesn't have to be the way it is.
Okay, explain that because I think this might give a lot of people a lot of hope.
One of the things that I always try to impress upon people is developing a practice mentality.
A practice.
And a practice mentality is, first it begins with having some practice that allows you to synchronize and align your mind and your body right through a physical movement. Physical movement. Now one could say like Tai Chi or
sure.
like a martial art or whatever. It's like, yes. Exactly like that, but let's start to involve things that one would look at in a gym, like a squat,
okay,
and a lunge, and a pushing motion with your upper body and a pulling motion with your upper body, and lots of things that really work on creating better connection from your feet all the way up the rest of your body. Because okay, your feet are the very things that are touching the ground. And the stronger you can make your feet, then the more you can help resist that push that gravity's doing down to the center.
So how do you do that? How do you make your feet stronger?
Through very kind of specific exercises,
okay,
that I teach. And they're very simple.
Yeah.
And when done regularly, they're very effective, which is why we're sitting here in Vegas.
Exactly. Because
I'm here to talk to 900 people.
Sure.
About movement, and you're here to talk to them about finding grace and
sure,
food.
And so this idea of strengthening the entire body by strengthening the feet just with some basic exercises, is this going to be like a high impact kind
no,
of?
No. It's not going to be a high impact thing. It's going to be basic movements that you can do that can help you sit better.
Okay.
That can help you walk better.
All right.
That can help you stand better. And that can help you get up and back and forth, down on the ground, off the ground, down on the ground, up off the ground. Because, Father, that is the very thing that's going to get most people, is they can't get off the ground. It's a big problem with the elderly. And most people would look at that are young,
yeah,
and middle-aged, whatever, and just say, well, no, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
And it becomes a very big deal as a human body ages.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but that's silly commercial. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Right.
I kind of want to chuckle and laugh, but it's a reality. I mean, just the other day, I couldn't get out of bed just because my back was hurting and I didn't do anything differently. And I have no idea why that even happens. And I mentioned that to you. And you said possibly it's because of maybe the way I walk,
right,
or maybe...
Well, you stand with your pelvis a little forward of your heels.
Okay.
So that means that you're putting a lot of pressure on your back.
Pelvis is a little forward of my heels.
Right. I'll show you, okay, things that you can do that are going to help preserve your back and take the pressure off your back.
Okay.
Real simple things.
Wow. I mean... And this is what you teach people.
Yeah, I help people. I help people with pain all the time.
But I remember my dad's a doctor.
Yeah.
And I remember the discussions that we had about chiropractics, you know.
Right.
And how that wasn't at one point considered like real medicine, but it is.
Yeah, I get adjusted by a chiropractor probably once a quarter.
Okay.
And but if you're just going to get adjusted by a chiropractor, but you're not going to work on the way that you're sitting, standing, walking, then the chiropractic's not going to help as much.
Okay.
Because the muscles are going to still maintain the same kind of habitual patterns of how you're positioning yourself.
Yeah.
And then so it's just going to pull the spine back in anyway. So it's not going to adjust, because what you really need to do within a movement program...
I've never heard of this before,
yeah,
a movement program.
Yeah, is that you're going to have to really learn to work on being able to, A, pay attention, which is where the mindfulness component, because I know you want to dig into that.
Yeah, I do.
Right, so that's where the mindfulness, because if you're not being present to how you're holding your body, then you're not going to be able to change a pattern.
Let's take a quick break, and when I return, Johnny's going to explain to me a little bit more about mindfulness. He's going to also kind of connect the dots on movement and in comparison to yoga, and then also just to see, you know, as far as who you are as a person, you're friends with Bishop Thomas, you know.
Do you think we can get him to listen to this?
Oh, I know he'll listen to this, no doubt. But I kind of want to hear, like, what that is for you. Is it,
yeah,
is it a religion? Is it a spirituality? Because these are things that people think, and
right,
I honestly don't know. So when I return for more Shoot the Shiitake, it's going to get all clarified for me. We'll be back in just a minute. Yeah.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Shoot the Shiitake, and for our premium subscribers, that is people who donate $10 or more each month, they're going to hear this week all about competition and Catholicism and learn about how becoming a professional martial arts competitor and instructor actually informed me in my vocation to the priesthood. So it's a great discussion that I think you're going to be willing to hear about. All you've got to do is be a premium subscriber, and to do that, just go to shootthesheitake.com and be a supporter and advertiser and get deeper into our discussions, conversations that lead to conversion. Shootthesheitake.com.
And welcome back to our deep dish discussion. I've got Johnny here, who is the founder of Balanced Athlete. And I totally love that, because yeah. I do think that athleticism is a great form of spirituality.
Yeah.
You know, St. Paul talks about running the race. And so this is me not afraid to talk about exercise. I remember people asking me about martial arts and saying, you know, can I do that as a priest? Heck yeah, I do that as a priest, because when I break boards, everyone pays attention, you know? And so it's kind of cool. But for you, you're going to jump into something called mindfulness. And I want to hear what that is, because in some Catholic circles, they almost shun it as a form of a religion. So I want to kind of hear about that.
Right. You know, if we look at the word mindfulness, it comes, you know, as far as we know, comes from the Buddhist tradition. But the Buddha was, you know, he also often referred to, you know, this has been done before. He didn't have a lot of, like, I guess you could say, just pride about, like, where it came from.
Yeah.
But mindfulness is, you know, it's learning to pay attention in a very particular way that is predicated on two characteristics, non-judgment, non-reactivity. So it's really learning to be present, come to your faculties, you know, your senses.
Sure.
And not being caught up in the cognition, the continual framing of every situation, or the continual judgment of everything. So it's something that I was introduced to in 2005 by an American teacher of 40 years who had trained in the Tibetan Shambhala lineage. And so mindfulness is really something that's, to me, it's just, how can you have compassion without, if you're always judging? And if you're always reacting to every situation, there's really not a sense of skill within your life. You're constantly reacting to everything.
Yeah.
There's no contemplative part of you. So mindfulness to me is just like, you know, remove the labels and just see it for what it is.
And are you talking about people, or are you talking about, like, because I'm talking about health and the body and the movement and all that stuff.
Right.
So can give me an example of mindfulness in body movement.
In movement?
Yeah.
I mean, we could look at and, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, shooting a shot. You know, many, particularly in the Zen tradition, many Zen teachers would be like, they would use that as an example, or a gymnast flipping through the air and just kind of knowing exactly when to let the tuck out.
That's not even natural stuff, though. I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
So, but it is natural to them.
Yeah, or just being able to stand upright and to be able to sit properly.
Sure.
And to walk properly.
I'll be honest with you. I have difficulty doing that.
Yeah.
Like sitting.
I mean,
on a plane?
Like, humbly, I feel like I'm very eloquent the way I hold my body.
Yeah.
But I practice it. Like, I'm not, you know, and so I think it's really basic and really simple.
Sure. I mean, my mother would always correct me. Good posture.
Right.
And is that it? I mean, I don't want to simplify it.
No. Yeah. Yes and no. It's that easy. The problem is, you know, I almost hesitate to use the word muscle.
Please do.
But what is that full muscle, Father Leo? Like the whole thing that's holding your body. See, it's much deeper than
my
just
belt.
Movement. But it's much deeper than movement.
Sure.
It's really, it's in a lot of ways, it's perception.
Yeah. Okay, perception. Wow, these are almost philosophical terms. And so, again, first of all, my stereotype is washed away, because a lot of people would think that, you know, like something like this would just be about stretching and yoga. And you're saying it's a lot deeper. It's about paying attention. It's about perception.
How many times does the word yoga appear in the Bible?
I have no idea. None.
63. Yeah. It's yoke.
Oh, yoke. Okay.
Yoga is just the word yoke in India.
Tell me about
that.
In
the East. Right. Okay. So most people are linguistically challenged.
Oh, God. I'm one of them.
Yeah. So they hear a word, and then they have this perception
and a judgment.
And this story and this judgment.
Sure.
All around that word.
Okay.
And it's kind of like, well, so mindfulness, a lot of it is just like, can I just see the content of my own mind?
Perfect.
And that is mindfulness.
Yeah.
Can I get intimate with the content of my own mind and not be so reactive?
Do you find people who are more mindful, more peaceful, more pacifistic, or I don't even know if that's a good word, but just more kind of...
The people that I've been around within the mindfulness community, I just think it's just like any other... people are there because they're trying to work on themselves.
Sure.
And so I like to focus on that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like instead of having some kind of judgmental. That's all right.
Yeah. You know? But I'm trying to get a general sense of what this does for people. So making sure that we're kind of paying attention just to the content of a thing or to a person. No judgment, or just at least absence of it.
Yeah.
And then perception. People always say perception is reality. But I mean, I know
perception is your reality. Whether it's accurate or reality, the answer is no.
Yeah. Okay.
Because nothing is, in a lot of ways, is ever really accurately seen.
So let's talk about yoke and yoga, because I never understood that.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know that yoke is, because it's kind of a yoke would be something that wraps around like a heifer or a bull to kind of partner up with another one in order to, say, like, till a field.
Right. So, that's how ancient the word is.
Okay, so what is yoga? Is it the same thing then? Because I have no idea.
Well, again, it's, you know, getting back to the whole linguistically challenged.
Yeah.
It's as simple as just saying yoga is... the same thing as yoke, and yoke's in the Bible, so was Christ teaching yoga?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, but what is yoga then? I mean, is it just being yoked?
It's a word.
Yeah, so is it a...
And then, but from an Eastern perspective, uh-huh. I mean, it was used in Hinduism, which really isn't a religion. A lot of people don't understand Hinduism.
Yes, I know, yeah.
Yeah, it's not really a religion, and Buddhism isn't really a religion.
Sure.
You know, the idea of religion didn't arise to the 3rd century AD. You know, that was relatively a Christian concept. But it was, so, you know, when you look at the word yoga, say, just from a Hindu perspective, you have 6 different kind of branches of yoga.
Okay.
So one, say, for instance, one is bhakti.
Okay.
And bhakti yoga is devotional yoga. And when you look at the spirit of bhakti yoga, it's what you do when you go to mass. Mass is a devotional thing. So that's called bhakti yoga. So going to mass would be bhakti yoga. Karma yoga would be somebody who actually really pays attention to the level of...
keep going, we're good.
How they're contributing to, you know, society. And a lot of times karma yoga shows up as somebody who does a lot of things for charity and helps out with that. Hatha yoga.
Okay.
H-A-T-H-A is what everybody thinks yoga is, which is a physical practice of yoga. It's the idea of yoking mind and body, breathing and movement, flexibility and strength into a physical movement practice. So you could say, classically, it was a circus show in a lot of ways.
Hmm.
So... And there's not a lot of history around that physical practice of yoga and really where it comes from. And there's some speculation, like written in a book called Yoga Body by I can't remember where he's a professor at, but he had studied at Oxford, I believe, maybe Oxford. But that when he went deeper, he was an avid yoga student, a hatha yoga. Let's differentiate it.
Sure.
You know, because there's these different yoga practices. It depends on what, when you
there's
look at
words.
There's
at least six, though, you're saying, right?
Yeah, six.
Okay.
I think I covered three.
Okay.
I don't know if we need to cover
them. No, you don't have
to.
I mean,
but the basic thing with the hatha yoga is that it may potentially not even really be from India. It might be from more of the Scandinavian countries.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this professor really kind of blew it up in this book called Yoga Body. And it's a pretty compelling case that so it was during the World War was it two or no World War One that the Indians were really trying to strengthen themselves for the uprising against the British government, and there was a lot of people coming from the Scandinavian countries down, and they were all gymnastic training books.
Huh.
And they were using this gymnastic training system to strengthen their bodies for the uprising against the British. And they just called it hatha yoga. They just kind of put it into there.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's really kind of crazy. But you'd have to check out the book if a reader, you know, if the listener is really interested. It's really kind of wild. It's called Yoga Body.
Yoga Body. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty wild. But it just gets really back to, you know, doing a physical practice that works on, you know, modern day. My take on that hatha yoga thing is, well, there's a lot of classical yoga postures, like, for instance, standing on your head. That's really not a good idea. Like, the occipital part of our neck is not designed to bear the weight. So
yeah,
things like that,
and
there's a lot
kind
of twisty things and bendy things that could really be detrimental to your joints. So, you know, there's a modern day repose on this whole hatha yoga thing, and that's a lot of the work that I do with the Balanced Athlete.
Okay.
But it's also fused into, you know, we'll use different pieces of equipment in our Balanced Athlete training, but everything's done barefoot. Everything's mindful. Everything's controlled. And we're always working to technical failure, not movement failure.
Technical failure.
Right.
What explain that?
Yeah. So we want to be able to see that somebody can hold the correct form like a martial art.
Yep.
Right. For every repetition. And when they can't, they got to put the weight down.
I see. Okay. And so the class, then it kind of looks like a yoga class because it is a yoga class in
not
a way.
Really.
Okay. And so you get athletes, right? I mean, they come in. Because I remember football players having to take ballet classes.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the
philosophy? It's the motor control, you know, it's the control of your movement. It's being able to move your body through multiple planes of movement. And being able to control your body as you move it. Whereas most people have a hard time standing, walking, and sitting.
Yoga. That's
so
true. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So, you know, why do you think, in particularly Catholics or Christians, people who are very spiritually minded people, are afraid of things like yoga? Have you even heard of this? Have you encountered the challenges?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think because people are linguistically challenged.
Yeah.
And they have concepts in their head. Everybody's, you know, and until I started to sit in meditation and to understand mindfulness, did I actually see the cage that I was living in.
Okay.
And really how I didn't need to invest so much into the stories that my mind was creating on every situation. I didn't need to invest that much.
Could that lead to a lack of discernment or lack of distinction? I mean, like, they'll say the devil in the details. You know, I mean, could it lead to just, hey, if I'm not going to create opportunities to discern and therefore make decisions, which sometimes require a judgment, that it could lead to some problems? I think that's maybe one of the reasons why people have such struggles with it. But, I mean, what you're talking about just sounds so natural and normal.
Yeah, I mean, my initial reaction to that is, give me a break. But I guess there's some validity behind that.
I mean, part of me, people are constantly asking me questions about yoga.
Yeah.
And I just don't know enough about it. I really don't.
Well, first of all, there's just multiple branches of it.
Yeah, I didn't
look
know that
at
there was
it,
at least six.
You know, so, and in so many ways, again, for any listener that goes to Mass, it's bhakti yoga. Like, I'm not doing yoga. No, it's just, okay, it's bhakti yoga then.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's devotional yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Devotional. Are you devotional? Or sure. Yes or no? Yes, I am.
Well,
are
I mean,
you yoking? Are you connecting with God? Are you connecting through the experience? Yes or no? Yes. So there you go. So you start removing. You just look at words, and words limit. They limit us.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. That's why earlier today when we were in that meeting and you said, like, you know, there could be no better thing than for them to experience silence.
Sure.
Yeah. That's so, meditation.
So for our listeners, we were having a big meeting about what we're going to be presenting. And I just offered a thought about just some quiet for people to integrate all that they're going to be hearing. And in a way, you would consider that a type of yoga, at least a form of it.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
So yoga is just a word.
It's just a word.
So what do you think people are so afraid of then? Like Christians in particular. I think
here's the thing.
Yep.
Is if you have faith, then you're willing to test your faith. And if you don't have faith, then you have a rigid belief. And a rigid belief gets you nowhere in life, but just stuck in just one way of thinking something. But if you have faith, you're willing to do what you do. You're willing to go out and to talk to people. You're willing to be in conversations where you don't agree, but you can be amicable, right? You're willing to look at all of the different spectrums that life really presents.
Yeah.
Right. And the good Lord is not going to condemn any good person.
Well, that's a fact.
Period. So it doesn't matter. Are you a good person?
Well, you know, I think you have to also have a credence in some sort of other too, which is something that a lot of people say it's good enough just to be a good person. And I'm like, yeah, an atheist could be a good person too. Would that get them to heaven if they don't want to go? So I think words do matter because, you know, like the word, even the word dogma, which just simply means definition, which everyone's afraid of in the same way some people be afraid of the word yoga. But it's just clarity and being able to understand what people mean when they say certain things. Mm. And so I think part of it is being able to clarify that yoga is just a word, that it doesn't have to do with demonic spirits.
No.
I mean, like, I don't know. Do you practice any type of, like, incantations and prayers while you're doing yoga?
No.
So I think people just need to relax.
I mean, you know, the problem is the yoga industry in America is a shit show.
It is.
And it's a shit show because of lots and lots and lots of reasons. But so I can't really
that's
promote
not what you
yoga.
Do.
I cannot really promote yoga in America. I can't promote anybody. I it's like I give people just like personal trainers or like I have some guidelines that I tell people. It's, you know, when it comes to a yoga teacher, it's like, are they talking about alignment? Because your physical body.
Yeah.
Like if they're not really emphasizing alignment, then you're probably not with somebody that I would recommend. If anybody's trying to push any kind of agenda on you,
nice,
like religiously or anything,
yep,
right, then you're not really with a good yoga teacher.
Yeah, and I think that is key right there. And one of my takeaways is that a word is just a word. Number one, there's
right.
no need to be afraid of it. Number right. two, the other takeaway is what mindfulness really is. And it's about discernment. And a lot of people freak out about that. I mean, and you're friends with a very good bishop. And
yeah.
I'm sure that you've probably had conversations with him this.
Oh, yeah.
And he loves you.
Yeah.
And you love him. And you can still be friends even if might not be a complete coherence or at least agreement of a word.
Yeah.
So I'm going to close this off here because this has been fascinating, Johnny. Really. I mean, part of me, I'm going to go to one of your classes because I want to fix my back.
I'll show you how you can fix your back.
Yeah, that's even better. And I want to understand these feet technique things too, feet exercise, which is pretty unbelievable stuff. I had no idea that if I could just kind of fix my feet and exercise my feet, it kind of fixes everything else. But I'm going to close off by just giving you the mic and asking you, how can I be a good priest for you? You know, like, you know, you just get a chance to preach to me. I mean, what are your thoughts on like how I, as a priest and just as a person, can be a better person. And maybe other priests who are listening can learn from a, not a yoga instructor, right, but a body movement instructor.
Right. Or just maybe I'm just a human being, just sharing my experience with other human
beings. I will take that too.
There you go.
But you've got a unique perspective. Body movement is pretty, I'm thinking about it, because Catholics in particular, we pray with our bodies, from lying on the floor.
Absolutely.
To make the sign of the
kneeling,
cross, yeah, to kneeling, to
standing,
raising our hands.
Right.
So all that stuff.
Right, right.
So it's a body movement, and that's why I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Preach to me, body movement teacher.
What? What could you do?
No, I mean, just give me your thoughts.
Well, I think the work that you're doing out on the fringe, that kind of really resonated with me before we started this interview, that the fact that the Pope and the Church thinks it's that important to be out like on the fringe. And I always say that as a yoga teacher, it's easy for me when I'm teaching a yoga class because people are there because they want to be there. But if I had to be out on the streets and working in places where people didn't want to be in the yoga studio, that would be a much tougher job. So when, you know, because we have teachers that are accountants and they are, you know, doctors, and they have other different professions, and they just teach a couple classes a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, you know, take what the stuff that you're learning in here to your areas, just kind of like what you do. So to me, that's really cool that you're putting your talents and your energies into the fringe versus into where the flock is. So that's pretty cool. What other things could you be doing better?
Besides standing?
Yeah, just, you know,
more appropriately.
Maybe take to heart some of the things I'm going to show you.
Oh, believe me, I will.
On the movement stuff, because I think you got the spirit down.
That's awesome. Listen, I love it, you know. Make sure that we're going out to the fringe, not to the flock, because guess what? The fringe is part of the flock. And so when we come back, I'm going to give you my carryout order. And boy, there's a lot to talk about, a lot to kind of digest here with Johnny. And no, really, I love it. So more to come here when I return with my carryout order on Shoot the Shiitake. Be back in just a minute.
As you want to stay healthy in body, mind, and soul, I recommend that you take your body and experience the world. Join me on a pilgrimage to either Croatia, the Holy Land, the Danube River, or southern Italy, Sicily, and the Amalfi Coast. You can learn about all of these fantastic tour experiences in the 2019 year. Just go to fatherleofeeds.com/travel or call directly selectinternationaltours.com at 800-842-4842. Again, selectinternationaltours.com or 800-842-4842. I'll see you in another country getting fed body, mind, and soul. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for this Deep Dish Discussions carryout order. And there was a lot for me to kind of take away from this experience, this conversation of working with Johnny Gillespie. Let me just give you my honest experience of Johnny. I was incredibly impressed with him. He's very healthy. He's kind of got a peacefulness to him. There were a few times, certainly, when I would present a challenging question, and you could see that he was a little taken aback, but he was calm about it. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful if all Catholics would be that way, just a little bit more calm when they're trying to discern how to defend their Catholic position. And the only way that we can do that is if we are willing to be educated in linguistics. And so he kind of talked about just like this linguistic illiteracy, a linguistic ignorance. And that's the reason why we have dogma, because dogma literally means definition. And the only way we're really going to understand a definition is if we see a definition in its full application. So what I wanted to do is talk a little bit about the definition that he provided in saying that yoga and yoke in the scriptures is one of the same. And that's interesting. I'd never heard that before. And then I kind of did some research, and then I realized that basically they're actually considering The Sanskrit definition root is yug, which means to control or yoke or to unite. And so the translations that include joining, uniting, in union, in conjunction is where they get the word in Sanskrit for yoga, which sounds a lot like yoke that we hear about in the scriptures. Because in the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, and hints of it are in the Old Testament, about marriage and particularly how man and woman are yoked, that they are kind of put into union in conjunction with each other. And when things get unyoked, it's because we've separated ourselves from those we are committed to in a union. So could it be that yoga and yoke are the same thing? Well, if we were to expand on that definition a fuller way, perhaps, because I do think that there are people who are unyoked in their body from their spirit and their body and spirit from their mind. We know that although we are a composite of body, mind, and spirit, they're supposed to be working in collaboration with each other, not against each other. And what Johnny was trying to say is he wanted to kind of bring those elements all together. I was also grateful to hear how he basically said that the modern understanding of yoga is a shit show. And I mean, like, I'm first of all glad that he can say that to me, because honestly, that's what I think it is. But for the yogic practitioners who, you know, existed, you know, average of 400 to 600 years before Christ, when Buddha existed, he preceded Christ, of course, historically, when they practice a type of spirituality, does that make them demonic? I think that when we as Catholics hear things like yoga and even now mindfulness, people go berserk because they automatically associate that to an Eastern religion like Buddhism, and therefore it must be evil. And I don't know if that is 100% true. I mean, we know that Thomas Merton learned a lot about meditation through Buddhist practices. I'm grateful to know that Catholic literally means universal, which also encompasses spirituality of times before Jesus existed. So yeah, could Catholicism have hints of the discipline of meditation that yoga practitioners discovered 600 years before Christ? Possibly. I mean, I don't know what it was like for St. Anthony of the Desert, who's the founder of an Eastern monasticism, but I do know that when we were trained in meditation, the breathing and the focus could look very similar to someone in a yoga practice. So I just think that we've got to kind of get over our linguistic fears. We've got to be able to overcome putting up walls immediately when we hear the word yoga or when we hear the word mindfulness. Because mindfulness, as he described it, is all about discernment. Now, do some people take it to an extreme? Do some people take it to a religion? Oh my gosh, absolutely. Remember, folks, I was teaching martial arts prior to the priesthood. And when I became a priest, and you know, I explained the martial arts, and people asked, are you still going to be able to practice martial arts? I said, absolutely. And I can't tell you how many people just basically threw shade my way because they thought, oh, you're a Catholic, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, no, please stop. It was because of the disciplines that I learned from martial arts that I actually was able to benefit from it and learn how to pray because of it. You're actually going to hear more about that in the Deeper Dish discussion, which I provide for all of our premium subscribers. And so thanks to them, and also thanks to you for listening so far. But I'm just trying to get to the heart of why people are so frustrated about yoga, about mindfulness. And I honestly think I understand why. Because we don't want to learn how to be in union just with ourselves and also to be yoked to one another. And trust me, this is true for Catholics as it is for people on another side who are devotees of yoga, but they're so anti-Catholic. I'm grateful that Johnny had a foundation of Catholicism as something beautiful and beneficial. Like, again, he's still friends with a great bishop who just happened to have been my spiritual director when I was in seminary. And, you know, it's funny how small the world is and how things come full circle because, you know, when he went to Rome, it was during the summer and the place was empty. And I remember very specifically this young man coming in to meet, you know, at the time, Monsignor Thomas, now Bishop Thomas. And I just remember just pointing out something to him and showing him around. And I honestly thought he was a seminarian. But in a way, he is continuing to spread the good news. I don't know what religion he preaches or professes these days, but I know he wasn't afraid to talk to a Catholic priest and be honest with me, which is why, in a way, for all intents and purposes, he is still Catholicos. He is still practicing that universality of faith, willing to learn, willing to expand, willing to dialogue, and to make sure that there is a consistency in movement. Okay, so there are a couple things that I learned, not only just overcoming linguistic challenges, linguistic ignorance, but also he used this analogy of the extremes of watching a baby and then watching an older person. So a baby, almost physically, they were able to do so many things, and an older person, they can't do so many things, but yet at the same time, they're still like children, older people are, aren't they? I mean, they still need help walking as a child does. And so this life cycle, this circular pattern of returning to becoming a child again, I think what I learned from all of that, whether Johnny was trying to explain this or not, was that life is truly circular. We are going to eventually return to a childlike way, but we will have weathered the bruises and the struggles and the brokenness of life. And what Johnny wanted to try to do was, through understanding movement in a natural way, help people to become still like children, even in their older age. Now, my mom and dad are over 80 years old, and I love them so much, and they are still moving around. They're dancing ballroom dances. Now, they have difficulty walking and all that stuff. They never practiced any yoga. You know, my dad did some exercise with martial arts, and mom certainly did some health things. Her exercise was walking through a mall, to be honest with you. She is so fast in a shopping center. Unbelievable. But this idea of them staying healthy in body, mind, and spirit is simply because they had a balanced approach to their faith and their life. They knew how to celebrate and eat fatty, delicious, rich foods. And at the same time, they also ate incredibly healthy foods, stews and vegetables and broth with, you know, that came from bone meat, from bones and such. So this whole idea of my mom and dad, I see them, they're 80-ish years old, and they are still incredibly healthy. And it's because they practiced balance. And boy, that's kind of what we need these days. And Johnny used this idea of feet and exercises for the feet, stretching for the feet, understanding how the feet works. And as he was mentioning it, I was taking notes, actually, and I thought, yes, our feet do the talking and our feet do the walking. For me, there's a beautiful carryout order that says, "How lovely are the feet of those who bring good news." In other words, when somebody is balanced because their feet are truly rooted in reality, they are not only healthy people, these are people who we want to listen to. Honestly, I could have listened to him a lot longer. I really was just so very impressed that he was in a way continuing his desire to teach people how to improve themselves. He kind of gave this example about his very successful studios. He mentioned that people are coming there to work on themselves. That's why people go to church. They're there to work on themselves. And his approach was to be non-judgmental, you know, just to make sure that people knew that yoga was about movement. It wasn't about a religion or spirituality. It was about paying attention to the rhythm of the body, which again, we do in Catholicism. It's called discernment and contemplation. We're literally entering in and paying attention and practicing discernment ultimately, contemplation leads to the meditation or the deep investigation of the object who is God himself, but that's even mysterious. But when he welcomes people into his studio, he comes with an attitude of no judgment and no labeling, and he just wants to help people as they work on themselves. That was a very powerful lesson for me as a priest who has to welcome people. I can't put a label on somebody. I really can't. It's not going to be helpful. And secondly, they're coming to church, hopefully to get in a deeper relationship with God. And the way that they do that is by working on themselves. Self-improvement. We call that conversion, growing in holiness, becoming the quote-unquote best version of you, which basically means becoming a saint. These are the things that I got from this conversation. This whole idea of being healthy is not just that physical, but also being healthy in mind and in spirit, and requiring us to go a little bit deeper. I'm glad that he didn't just join the bandwagon that, in a way, Johnny Gillespie and Balanced Athlete. This is a group that has been practicing the movements, not the religion, but the movements of yoga, and practicing discernment, not in a religious weird way, but in a paying attention to the body and mind kind of way. He's been doing it before yoga became a thing, you know, like before yoga really became all the rage, where, and again, he called it currently a shit show, because now it is about religions, about people pretending to be open-minded, but being completely judgmental. For this guy, he's a real deal. He really is a real deal. And I can tell that he was listening to our conversation. And more importantly, he gave me a lot to learn from just listening to his perspective. One final thing. Movement requires us to be natural. And that's true even in our faith. And one of the things that he kind of mentioned, and it stuck with me, and it's one of my carryout orders, is to try my very best to avoid being rigid, which is exactly what people do, whether it be in politics or in a type of exercise like yoga or in a type of spiritual discipline or ecclesiastical approach. People can become rigid, and that's not good. In order to be a good bridge, you have to be willing to stretch from your position to another position, and you've got to be rooted in both yours and in theirs, and also flexible. It's the bridges that have no play, they don't have the bounce, so to speak, or any flexibility, that are the ones which come tumbling down. My job in this show was to help us to stay balanced, body, mind, and spirit. And with Johnny Gillespie and Balanced Athlete, and teaching me not only how to stand properly and to stand naturally like a child of God, and to make sure that I'm not rigid, that I can truly see how I am yoked to God, I am yoked to others, and hopefully yoked in my own body, mind, and spirit. That's my carryout order from this deep dish discussion with Johnny Gillespie. I hope you enjoyed it, and between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake again, stay hungry. And we hope you enjoyed this episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, brought to you by SoulCore.com. It is a movement that pairs core strengthening, stretching, and functional movement with the prayers of the rosary. So you literally are becoming healthy in body, mind, and spirit. You can learn more about them at soulcore.com. And for all of our listeners, thank you for your support. And please continue to encourage family, friends, and parishioners to listen to this podcast on their favorite podcast platform, and to advertise with us, and even to support us as a premium sponsor. And more importantly, continue to help bring about conversions, one conversation at a time. To join the movement and to get more involved in our deeper dish discussions, just simply go to shoottheshiitake.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.